Hi, it's Paul Sack. It's Good News Planet, speaking to Mary and Ronald Holmick. Hi, how are you both doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Hi, Paul. We're so happy to be with you.
We're happy to be with you both. Both of you are PhDs, and you're living legends in the industry here. And actually, I think we talked a long time ago. I feel somehow 10, 12 or something years ago. But
very possible.
I'm almost positive, and because I like the kinds of thinking that you share with the world, and you have a new book, Remembering the Light Within, a course in soul-centered living. It's a new book that reminds us that love is our essential nature, creating a radical shift in perceptions of our life's purpose. And you're both experts, I'll say, in the spiritual psychology. So tell us about the latest. It's with Hay House, a great publisher, and good stuff. So tell us about this book.
Well, Paul, the whole point of it is that for most people on this planet today, we tend to look at life as going on out there, and we react to it out there, but we focus out there. But the reality is that where we experience life is within, inside of ourselves. So, but we don't have, or up till now, we haven't really had a technology for how to work within ourselves to make the shifts that we want. We keep trying to change life out there. And what we have found over our 35 plus years of working with people, the more we focus on in here, within, and seek to change the quality of our consciousness, lo and behold, the quality of our lives out there seems to change automatically.
Mm-hmm. Mary, your thoughts?
Well, this book is all about waking up into the awareness of the love that you are, that is your essential nature, and allowing yourself to... How should we say this? Remember that which you have forgotten, to remember your spiritual nature, and to learn to live your life more in accordance with it. And this book is organized into 26 chapters, each of which has inspirational stories, information, and a practice and an intention that are designed to support people in very practical ways, in living their lives more in harmony with the awareness of their spiritual nature and of waking up into the spiritual context and remembering that we came to Earth to do a particular work, the work that was to heal the issues that we took embodiment for and to wake up also into the awareness of the giftedness of who we are. And this book is designed in a sequential way that supports people in that process of remembering, of awakening.
You have a term here, spiritual amnesia. What is that all about?
Well, what Mary is referring to is what we call this business of focusing out there and thinking our lives are happening out there. We forget that who we are and what we experience is going on within. So to change the focus to within provides us with the experiences that we then can use to awaken. We gear those experiences in a particular direction, which encourages people to attune to the loving essence that is the nature of who and what they truly are, which is, of course, what all the major teachings have been telling us for all time.
Now, you both are the actually founding faculty and co-directors of the University of Santa Monica, the Worldwide Center for the Study and Practice of Spiritual Psychology already. And so let's go to the book and give us some examples of what a chapter can how a chapter can help us.
Well, there's a powerful chapter called The Mother of All Choices that is all about the authentic empowerment that occurs when we begin to take dominion within our own consciousness, so that rather than blaming other people and outer circumstances and events for our disturbance, we recognize that, oh, this is my God-given opportunity to heal an unresolved issue within my own consciousness and to explore the limiting beliefs that are part of that unresolved issue, and also to address the unresolved emotional energy, the hurt, disappointment, resentment, anger, whatever the emotion is, and that to do this work is indeed sacred work, spiritual work. Rumi made an incredible statement when he said, our task is not to seek for love, but to seek and find all the barriers that we've built against it, and we add to that, and to dissolve them.
So coming back to what I was saying earlier, to reference this, most people will do, I am upset because, and will blame the disturbance on what's going on out there. They lose track of the fact that the disturbance itself is going on within them, and that a person can learn to heal disturbances going on inside of themselves independent of what they think is the cause of it out there. Our perspective is you take responsibility for the disturbance going on within yourself, and we will show you how to heal it and heal it for the last time.
You know, I mean, that's wonderful, and I believe it will be so. It will be written. Not everybody always has such a great wealth of knowledge right next to them, even though we want everybody to buy the book. And usually the person who has the hardest time realizing what we're speaking about is the person themselves. And somebody, they sometimes say, sees the you in a different way that you see yourself. How do we be understanding and accepting of somebody else that you feel might be able to help themselves more so, if you're, I guess, taking a little judgmentalness to you?
That is a great question, Paul, because I think it's so, you know, it's like we all have blind spots, and it's so easy sometimes to see someone else's blind spots. But, you know, part of what our spiritual psychology approach emphasizes, that each person comes to the Earth School with their own unique spiritual curriculum. They come with the lessons that they're here to learn, and they come with the gifts that they're here to share. And resolving one's own issues takes a real commitment. It's like this morning, I was writing a little piece called A Recipe for Revelation. And it really takes beginning to catch on that I don't need to live my life in endarkment. I don't need to live my life as a victim, that I have choices, that I can make choices with regard to, let's say, how I'm perpetuating my own experience without even being aware of it. What are the outer choices that I'm making that tend to perpetuate my life experience? And what are the inner choices? And, you know, I think one of the things that is the most helpful, Paul, is to recognize that we're all divine beings having a human experience, and that if we knew better, we'd do better. And when I think about some of the more difficult kinds of things that go on this planet, there are people who are so separated from their heart that they are, in a way, oblivious to the awareness of their essential nature.
I can give you the bottom line formula for how the process will work.
Okay.
See, if someone in our class would say, I'm upset because, and whatever, my brother did this, my wife did this, my husband, the Donald Trump did this, whatever you want to blame it on, I'm upset because, and forget about the because, attune to the place inside yourself that is upset. Give the upset a voice. Just let the upset speak. You will always find that somewhere in the upset story, there's going to be a wrong-making or a judgment of somebody or something. We then will invite that person to work with a process that we refer to as compassionate self-forgiveness. Are you at the place where you are ready to let go of that judgment and quit making that other person or place or whatever wrong? Now, this is not an easy thing for people to do, because this is not the way that we have been brought up by and large. But nevertheless, it's the surrendering of these judgments, of this business of wrong-making, that is the path to freedom. It also happens to be the path to peace on this planet. But that is a result of enough people letting go of their own inner againstness and their own inner judgments that makes it work. We just put out a blog that was called "Are You Suffering from Post?" How do we call it? Post-traumatic election distress. Everybody is all upset about the election, and we put forth the example of Julia Butterfly Hill, who you may remember climbed up into the redwoods in Northern California, because they were going to be cut down. And after 2 years of living in the redwoods, the logging companies gave in and they said, look, we'll take these sequoias, we'll make them into a national park, 30 acres of them, and you win. Please come down, because the pressure on them was building. And she came down and all the news media were there, and they said, where did you get the strength to stand up against the logging companies? And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't climb the trees because I was in any way against the logging companies. I climbed the trees because I love the trees. And it's this business of we want to march, we want to do whatever we want to do. We want to fine. Can we do it from a place of loving rather than from a place of againstness? And that is the nature of the forgiveness work, is to let go of the againstness that we harbor within. And that's why the book calls the willingness to take that level of responsibility the mother of all choices.
You reminded me when you gave that example, it reminded me actually of Forrest Gump when he ran across the country three times.
Yeah.
And when he stopped, he said, well, I think I'm tired now.
Exactly.
Why'd you do it, huh? I don't know. I just did it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, I love the communing with the divine through prayer. I'm also an interfaith minister, a spiritual minister, and I love prayer, and I think many do as well, of course. And so, how do you see, is prayer that place, a place for a home to for yourself to find yourself?
See, prayer in and of itself is neutral. It's the energy that you put into the prayer. If it's a sincere prayer that you are seeking divine guidance, for example, you will receive divine guidance. You may not recognize it as such, but as they say, no prayer goes unanswered. Everything has to do with the quality that you bring to it, because that's the inner experience that you're having. If you bring love to everything you do and every minute of your day, you're going to have a love-filled life, just no matter what you're doing. It really comes down to that.
Yes, and what I would add, Paul, is that,
sure,
that prayer, heartfelt prayer, is brings us into communion with the divine. And one of the practices that we recommend to people is deep listening in the silence. And also, we encourage prayers of gratitude, because if there's one thing we can give back to the divine, it is our gratitude for the blessing of life, for the opportunities to awaken, for the opportunities to be of service on the planet. And when people come into that kind of awe and reverence and deep love of the divine, it's like, from my point of view, that opens an incredible gateway for inspiration, for revelation, and for an experience of aliveness and upliftment that really can inform life and bring a very magical quality to existence.
And, you know, please understand that when we make these statements, we're not just making them from a philosophical or theoretical point of view. We're talking about our experience in working with thousands of people over a 35-plus year period to see people step into that experience and just literally watch them light up is quite a thing to see. And it's not uncommon that they'll start out with, oh, my God, I had no idea, because we're not trained to look in that direction. We're trained to look out there.
Share another chapter. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
One of the things I would add, Paul, is that we have one chapter that's called Awakening While Sleeping, and there's a practice that we bring forward at the end of the chapter called Setting Bedtime Intentions, which is another form of prayer. It's reflecting on the day, on questions I may have, and placing them out as a prayer to the divine and asking for spirit's assistance, guidance, and inspiration, perhaps in resolving some of those situations or perhaps in inspiring us in terms of our next steps, our path of service on the planet. So I love that particular practice as a very specific form of prayer before people go to sleep. And in our own experience and the experience of all the students that we've worked with through the years, very often there will be a dream, or there'll be you wake up in the morning just with a new idea or inspiration. And spirit is really our partner, and all we need to do is learn how to open up the channel for communication and communion.
How do you hit that spiritual home run?
How do you hit a spiritual home run? Oh, my gosh. That is incredible. You know, from my point of view, Paul, it's really through a process of remembering, of knowing that I'm not alone, that spirit's got my back. And so when a challenging situation presents itself, that it really is an opportunity for me to demonstrate my essential nature and that I can bring forward the strength of my heart and meet the challenge with spirit.
And to that, I would add, that's exactly why we wrote this book the way we wrote it. It's designed in 26 chapters, and our biggest recommendation is for people to work with one chapter every 2 weeks so that you complete the book in a year. And by completing the book within a year, if you do that and do all the things that it says in there to do, I can't imagine you would not have the experience of becoming more aware and remembering more of who you truly are.
Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living, Mary and Ronald Holman, doctors. Let me ask you two more questions. Hay House is the publisher. Two more questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
Our broadcast is good news, and we like to focus on that positive. So I ask everybody, what is good news for them? So, Mary, what's good news for you in any aspect of your life?
Well, good news for me is the awareness that I am a divine being, that I am God incarnate, that my opportunity in this lifetime is to show up as the presence of love, to bring forward the strength of my heart, to share with other people in a way that I bring blessings to them just through speaking the truth of my heart and relating with them in a loving way. and that I have the opportunity to do that with each person that I meet. I think some of the other good news for me is just the opportunity to reach out and through this broadcast and people's reading the book to support the greater awakening that is taking place on the planet at this time.
Beautiful. Ronald?
And good, I would have to say I'll go to my favorite good news, and that is every time that I see someone start to catch on and start to wake up, that is the best news that I could have in that day. One of the sayings at USM is that every time one person resolves one issue, the whole of humanity moves forward in its evolution.
This is so. The last question I'm going to ask is related to our peace efforts and the world peace efforts. We're involved with the International Day of Peace, September 21st, and we create the Human Peace Sign, Times Square, and Central Park, and we're working to hopefully pull off a World Peace Party at 12 noon, and 193 countries in the United Nations already agreed to a day of peace. So we're trying to strengthen that message. And actually, out by you, Los Angeles is one of the first ones, Peace Sunday organizations, that was one of the founders of strengthening that UN message. So I've asked thousands of people, what does peace mean to them? So I'd like to ask them, why don't I start with you, Ronald? What does peace mean to you?
Yeah, very simple. Peace is letting go of againstness. It's letting go of judgment. It's opening up to a greater willingness to allow other people the dignity of their own expression.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And Mary?
Well, I have to echo what Ron said, that peace is the cessation of againstness, and that if I can learn to walk through this world in acceptance of myself, of others, and that I am willing to give other people the dignity of their process. And how I learn to do that is to really to learn to look with the eyes of my heart, to look for the beauty in other people, and to respect that each person is here for their own unique learning and for their own unique contributions, and that other people don't have to be just like me or do things my way for me to respect them and to accept them.
You two are powerhouses.
Thank you.
Really, you're fantastic, and what an honor to get to share the good thoughts here, the book, and we have all the details here in the text and some links over to your website for people to get it, and obviously it'll change your day, or make your year in this case. Guys, thank you very much for sharing good news with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul. Pleasure to be with you.
And send my love to Brooklyn.
I sure will. Take care.
Take care, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye.